from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by EverBank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we go on Jaguars Monday, Halloween edition. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer down in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, CBS Sports Studios. Plenty to get to tonight. The Jaguars have a new offensive coordinator. Well, he's in the building. Nathaniel Hackett promoted. We'll get to that. Blake Bortles has a personal quarterback coach coming for the next couple of days.
That worries me.
Let's see what that has to do with anything. One injury update a little later. We'll open the phone lines in the second hour. Oh, by the way, All Hallows Eve is the time dedicated to remembering the dead, including saints, martyrs, and all the faithful departed, according to literary source Wikipedia.
That's what everyone's doing, dressing up as, you know, Batman and Wonder Woman and ghosts and goblins. I'm sure that's what they're remembering, their past.
Lighten up. Let them have some fun.
Their past loved
Tony.
Ones who've died and the saints. I'm sure that
you
I'm,
never.
As
you
my
never
kids
went
go
out
collect,
Halloween.
As my kids go and collect, you know, candy. I'm sure didn't Mother Teresa just become a saint? I'm sure they're thinking about her as they get.
Tony, didn't you
Snickers.
Used to go out on Halloween? Did you go out on Halloween, Tony?
Yeah. What was the last time you trick or treated, Tony?
Oh, it's been a while.
Did you ever go to a Halloween party when you were an older person and had costumes and everybody was and had a good time?
That's a yes.
Yeah, but not really. Yeah. I didn't need Halloween to do that in college.
But then Halloween
fun.
You did.
It
was fun.
Not really any different. Yeah, I didn't think it was fun because I don't want to get dressed up.
You know what?
I ain't getting dressed up.
You're flipping roles with me. You're the curmudgeon. You've become more of the curmudgeon.
I'm just telling you, I think getting dressed up silly.
Next thing you know, he's going to say, oh, gosh, Christmas is a terrible
holiday.
Why do I want to eat on Thanksgiving?
Love Thanksgiving.
If I eat on Thanksgiving, I'm going to have to go see Dr. DPSOCSOPPO.
You'll never hear me complain about Thanksgiving or Christmas. I love those holidays. Love them. I'm a big New Year's Eve and New Year's Day guy. Love it. Celebrate the new year. Remember the years past. It's awesome. Love them. Not Halloween.
Pete, what did you dress up as last time you dressed up at Halloween?
A dwarf.
My costume cannot be repeated on the air.
Oh, well. That's intriguing.
What are those dwarfs named from the Two
Oompa
Towers?
Loompas.
No, the Two Towers. The what was that movie? The movies like Gandalf.
I know what you're talking about.
You could be that little dwarf. I mean, you'd be perfect. Perfect. You're kind
Tony.
Of you're fat and short.
You're,
he was a fat and short guy.
What are you going to go out as? Kyle Korver? You can get Kyle Korver jersey. You go out as Kyle Korver.
Yeah. I don't have a – what is he with the Hawks? I don't have any Hawks gear. So if they send me Hawks gear, I still wouldn't wear it. But
you wouldn't wear it. Last time I went out dressed up in Halloween, it was in Boston. I had a blast. I had so much fun.
Yeah,
but of
you
course,
should go try it again tonight.
No, I'm working.
No, go
I got
on.
Work to do.
Okay.
All right. Well, speaking of work, let's get to it. Greg Olsen let go as offensive coordinator. Nathaniel Hackett promoted from the quarterback coach position. You know, Gus Bradley said on Friday that there were no coaching moves coming. He had second thoughts, changed his mind Saturday afternoon, made the move. Was that the right process? It doesn't matter now. It's been done. What do you say, Tony?
What do you mean, was it the right process?
Should he have said it differently Friday?
Why? He didn't. If he didn't know, you can't. Because he's in a no-win situation Friday. Because if he's in the process of evaluating and he doesn't know what he's going to do and he hasn't made a decision and they say, is there going to be any coaches' decisions? And he says, I don't know. I'm evaluating. Well, now that's the story. And if you don't make a move, then everyone on the staff and everyone's like, well, you know, what's going on? So by saying no, because at that point he was not going to make a change, he had not made the decision, that's the right answer. You say no. Things change. The way it works. I mean, it's an imperfect business.
They were making the decision Friday, and they probably let it stew overnight, and they made the decision Saturday, the final decision on Saturday.
When you say they, I don't think there was a they. I think it was a he. I don't think Gus. I think Gus did this all by himself.
Here's the other thing, Tony. What about
you disagree, Pete? Because you said they.
Yeah. I think there was input.
I don't. I think he made the decision and then let everyone know. if that's what he wanted
about,
to do.
Now, could what they, about what about the comments, the basket case comments?
Cause yeah, clearly, boy, that was bad. There was a, the, that one bothered me. I don't like any time. I don't like when those things start getting out about players. I think it's just – it's not a great precedent to set. The one that really bothered me is when – was it Josiah – Josina, what's her name?
Anderson.
Josina Anderson said that she had talked to a player who was not used to losing and that they made a comment about, you know, he's not the guy or whatever it was. That – I don't like that.
I mean, you could point the finger at who that is.
Well,
I could point the finger at who the basket case comment came from because he's no longer there. That sounded like it was smack dab
well,
at him.
I don't know anything about who it was.
No, I don't know for a fact.
Well, I just know this. She said a player who's used to winning and not used to losing.
Well,
said
there aren't many of those on that team.
Right. Offensively, there's only two. There's only two that qualify in that description. So I'm not accusing
who?
Them. Julius Thomas and Kelvin Beachum are the only two that are not used to losing, coming from winning teams that I can think of.
Well, did it say an offensive player?
No, but I'm assuming. I mean, typically
defensive player.
Don't. Okay, well then there's not there any more on that side either.
Malik.
Okay.
That's about it.
Maybe if you include college guys. I mean, we could go through this exercise. We don't know who it is, and I don't know who it is, so I'm not going to blame anybody because it's not fair. I just don't
like
it.
I like playing the who it is game,
though.
I
know you do,
Pete. It's always fun.
You love that.
You know I love that stuff.
But when she said that, and I was like, oh, gosh. What, I mean.
See, I used to protect my sources. I used to protect my sources.
Well, here's the other thing.
She didn't do a very good job of protecting the source by putting out there somebody who's not used to winning.
That's right. And here's not used to losing.
Losing.
Yeah, used to winning. But here's the other thing, you know, Pete, with these, you know, investigative, not, you know, these breaking news people,
insiders.
Yeah. Sometimes you know where they get that from. It's not even the player; it's from the player's agent. So the player talks to the agent and is talking freely to his agent, and then the agent starts because the agents are always trying to get something. That's how this insider business works. It's the agents because the insiders can play up the agent, say, "I'll help your guys out, give me stuff," and the agents, you know, it's this symbiotic relationship of under the. You know, kind of under the table type of dealing. So I could see one of the agents having a conversation with a player of his and then going to, you know, one of the insiders and saying, hey, this is what is going on there. So maybe it's not even a player, in fairness. Maybe none of the players said anything.
It could be a player saying it to somebody.
But isn't that true, Pete? Isn't that true? Those agents do a lot of.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. But it could be a player, you're right, through an agent to whatever. You know, my guy just told me that they don't trust so and so in the locker room. And that you go, you know, I'd have a problem going with that, if me personally. But I know,
no, Pete,
guys
you're
do
different. As much as I like giving you a hard time, you're a pretty straight arrow, do it the right way. And you know as well as I do, and I'm not naming any names in that business, but there's some of them that will run with anything, because it's competition. It's competition who can get the most clicks or the most, you know, be first and come out with the most, you know, sensational news. That's the world. World we live in, and not just sports.
I'll be honest with you. I don't mind anonymous sources. I've told you that many a time. I don't mind them because sometimes that's the only way you're going to get the real story. I think when you do an anonymous source, and it's sort of like a character assassination, you better have a couple more on that.
I agree.
And I mean, for example, throwing out basket case out there, that implies a bunch of different things for Blake, whether he's, you know, maybe something's wrong with his mind, maybe something's going on in his life. What do you mean basket case? So then you open it all up. So if you're going to write that he's a basket case and somebody tells you that, then you go run it by two, three other people, whether it's a player in a locker room or a coach or somebody else. And if three more people come back to you and they say, you know what, he is a basket case, well, then you have your story, you know. But one person saying it, that's hard to go with sometimes on that.
Not anymore, Pete. They're looking for content 24 hours a day. They got to say something on all these dumb shows. I mean, they got to say something.
Well, the reason I say this is
I shouldn't say dumb because we're on
we're on one right now.
Ours is the only non-dumb show.
Well, I mean, but it's just you do the. It's not fair to and you know, I'm the first one to rip players if they play poorly, because you look, you're open, you're making money, you're living in the bubble and everything else. But
oh, it's fair game. That's fair game. I don't like when guys in the locker room start to say, I mean, listen, if you're a guy on this team, you know your quarterback's struggling. What good is that going to do to help everyone get to the end goal of winning football games by taking shots at him in the media? I mean, it's selfish.
And I go back to the other one, the basket case shot. That wasn't a player. That reeked of coming from, to me. And I'm not, I don't know for a fact, but remember, this is the same coordinator who went to Oakland and blasted Blaine Gabbert when he was there. And he used to blast Blaine Gabbert all the time, Greg. So, I mean, he probably said that. I don't know if he said it. You know, who knows? He might have been talking to the guy, oh, yeah, he's a basket case, but not really meaning. You know what I mean? Sometimes you say something like,
right.
Oh, yeah. And then it takes on a life of its own. So, yeah, look. You got to be careful with that stuff. Is Blake playing good football? No. Does he look unsettled? Yes. Does he look like he's a different guy from a year ago? Absolutely. Are there a bunch of things wrong with him? Yes. But to label somebody a basket case, it's a little that's a little harsh.
Hey, Pete, we got to go to break right now. So do you have the All-22 in front of you right there? Can you pull it up?
I can get it.
Go watch Blake's first touchdown pass, the first drive of the second half, and let's talk about it when you get back. When you get back.
A homework assignment.
Yeah, go look at that.
I'll watch it today, but I'll look at it
right now. That play, nothing else.
We'll be back. Right. We'll break down Blake Bortles and that play, and also the move to promote Nathaniel Hackett. Your call's coming up in the second hour tonight. It's a Halloween edition of Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
If I would, I guess played good, better, the way I should, whatever you want to say, there would never be a coordinator switch. We'd still be here with Jed Fish, I guess. So I think, it's always, it's on the quarterback, it's on the offense, because if you would play good, nobody'd have to get fired, nobody'd have to get cut. But that didn't happen, and, unfortunately, somebody's got to take the blame for it, and, nowhere near was it all Greg Olsen's fault.
Blake Bortles earlier today. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Your calls in the second hour tonight.
So real quick, Pete.
Tony, I couldn't get to the play for some reason. It wouldn't let me get to it.
What are you talking about?
The touchdown.
Why couldn't you get to it?
That's a big F.
Something to do with the flash or something in here. I don't know. It wouldn't let me.
All right,
get to
that in a second.
I watched it today, though. What do you? Which,
all right, we'll
which,
get to it in one talking? Second. I just got a tweet. The Josina Anderson. Sorry, Josina, I didn't mean to butcher your name. She said it was a offensive starter who told her that. I got the clip sent to me. Who is not used to losing.
Well, that could be one of two players then.
I mean, it's pretty narrow. And that's when I remember when I heard it, I'm like, well. One or two guys.
She didn't actually protect her source very well.
She basically
not at all.
I mean,
she basically said flip a coin and here we go.
Yeah, right. If I'm Blake Bortles, if it's me,
well, I go ask him.
I'm going to Julius Thomas and Kelvin Beachum. I'm saying, which one of you two said that?
Yeah, I'd ask. I'm with you, Pete. I would do the same thing.
And then what?
Hey, Tony, it ain't exactly like neither one of those two are lighting it up either.
It's true.
I mean, tell me one person who's lighting it up on offense. I mean, tell me where the whole offense is struggling. I mean, that's why I like what Blake just said there. It's not all Greg Olsen, but sometimes somebody's got to be the guy that takes, goes down to change things up and see if you can get things going the right direction. But back to the play I was having you look at, Pete. I just got something said in my ear. Sorry.
What? So back to the play.
Joe just told me, our producer said, Ben Koyak is lighting up. He had five catches at the end of the game. It's true.
Joe.
Thank you, Joe, for your input.
Yeah, for about 8 yards each, right?
Well, listen, it's a joke, Pete. Come on.
I know.
The play I was referring to, as I was watching the game and watching – inaccurate throws and one hops and just bad football, not just offensively, not just Blake. It was offense, defense. We'll get into the whole. I mean, It was so bad I turned it off in the second. I just couldn't watch it. I was like, oh, this is just enough. But what stood out to me, Pete, that touchdown throw, it's basically Julius Thomas running to the goal line and sitting down and turning around and boxing out the defender.
No, I watched the play today. Now that you remember it.
Blake Bortles drops back, steps up, and throws with a extreme – like, I had to watch it three times. I'm like, wait a second. Am I watching this right? With an extremely quick, tight motion and a strike between the 8 and the 0 about 3 feet, 4 feet off the ground, so it's a little bit low so the defender cannot make the play. It was a perfect throw with a good motion, quick – and everything. It's on the Jags.com right now. Play that again, Hollywood. I don't know if you can see it, Pete.
Yeah.
But if you
I see it right now. There were a couple others like that.
No, but I'm saying, but this is so. Watch this motion. Look how quick that is. It's perfect. It wasn't. He didn't drop it. It wasn't loopy. Look, he gets it out quick. His feet are good.
So the question is, why can't he carry that over more?
That is my whole point. It's the inconsistency. So, Mike Mazur, the offensive line coach, used to always yell at us, especially after we lost. He'd yell at us all the time. But he had this saying. He says, and I'll edit it because I can't say it exactly how he would phrase it. He would say, listen, either be good all the time or be blank all the time. But this up and down stuff, I can't handle. I want to know what I'm dealing with. And the point was, if you're consistently – a good player, fine. We know what we can expect. If you're a consistently blank, bad player, I know what I'm dealing with. It's when you start going up and down, and sometimes you look like, oh, gosh, we got our guy. And next time you look, and you're like, oh, no, we are lost. It's hard. The good news is it's in there. And I don't know why Blake is struggling. He's going to bring this quarterback guru in, which I always worry about midseason, getting somebody from outside the building coming in and – tinkering and stuff, but I mean, desperate times have desperate measures. But I watched that play, Pete, and it stood out to me so much that I watched it multiple times. I'm saying, that's what it's supposed to look like. There's the motion, there's the good footwork, there's accuracy. It's repeating. It's like in golf. The great golfers, which I am not one of them, because when I play golf, where Pete plays golf or you play golf, our swing changes like 15 times within the round. Like, we'll hit one good and we'll get like, oh, getting a little groove, and then it goes sideways and we start changing and fiddling with everything. The great golfers could repeat their golf swing over and over and over again, no matter what the situation, how much pressure's on, what's going on around them, and everything else. Same thing with the quarterback. The great quarterbacks can repeat their mechanics. Now, they might drop it down a little bit low sometimes because of the – you know, the rush and trying to fit a window, but the mechanics, how they hold the ball, how they move their footwork, getting their feet. I mean, and Blake doesn't do that right now. Why? Why it has regressed? I'm not going to say regressed with a capital R, but why it's gone backwards a little bit? I don't know. But well, I see that, Pete. I see that. Yeah. It's like, why? Where is that all game?
Well, but not only that, Tony, there was more than just that one in the second half.
But that one stood out to me.
I know, but there were others, because I thought the exact same thing when I was watching that play, and I thought the same thing when I was watching a couple others in the second half. And that goes back to my theory on him, okay? And I've said this many a time. When he's asked to overthink it, I think he plays tight. I think all the stuff that he – when he plays loose, it's more I guess it's more rhythm to it when he plays freer and looser – than when he's asked to play tighter and not asked to play like it's a backyard. Look, and
But here's my problem with that comment, Pete. I don't disagree with it. But everyone plays better when they're loose. Everyone plays better when, you know, they're
comfortable. Broadcast better when they're loose.
When they're comfortable.
Whatever. Yeah.
But here's what the good players do, Pete. They get comfortable from snap 1 to snap 80, and they're loose, and they're not anxious, and they don't carry stress. They go into the situation no matter what it is, and they're comfortable with what they're being asked to do. And so I don't disagree with you that there's some anxiety and stress and pressing and everything else, but just speeding it up doesn't, you know, let's play no huddle. I don't think that changes it. Maybe it's paring down the playbook. Maybe it's finding what he does well and, you know, calling that more. I'm not sure. I mean, a lot of coordinators do that with their quarterbacks. They know this guy does this well. He doesn't do this well. So let's stay away from this. He likes this look. He doesn't like that look. So let's stay away from that. Maybe it's that. Maybe that's what Nathaniel Hackett was do. Maybe Greg Olsen was doing that and it just wasn't working. I'm not sure. But I don't think it's a style of play that all of a sudden will make him loose. Now, it's easy. I mean, I think it's a mindset.
I don't think he's great under center. I think he's better when he's facing, taking snaps in the shotgun and not under center.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but the first half he wasn't good and he wasn't under center all the time.
No, but again, there's a – I just think if he thinks too much – when he thinks too much,
I think you're thinking too much right now and reaching.
No, it goes awry when he thinks too much. He plays tight and his mechanics go to crap. And when he plays loose, it's more natural. It looks more natural when he plays loose and free. So, you know what, Tony? Set him free.
I don't know what that means. You keep on saying stupid things like that. They don't mean anything. Set him free.
We'll come back.
Okay, Zen.
And see if
Phil Jackson. I mean, I don't know. What do you mean? Set him free. What does that mean?
We'll think about it over the break. We'll come back and see if Pete can define that for us.
He can't. He's been saying it for weeks. He can't.
The Southern.
And they haven't done it yet. And that's why the offensive coordinator's fired.
No idea, Pete. You just say things.
He's walked off the set. He's out of here. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. We'll see how Pete will set him free when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Been crazy. It's been an emotional roller coaster, I think. You know, obviously for me, I think for all of us, you know, nobody's happy with where we're at. I mean, we're 2-5, and that sucks. It's unfortunate, and it's, you know, almost hard that, you know, for me, I'm naturally a very excited and energetic guy that I'm also very excited and like, oh wow, this is exciting. And then you feel guilty for being excited, and then you realize we have a game in 7 days, and the players are like, oh gosh, who's this guy? What is he going to be doing? He's only been talking to Blake. And so it's just, you know, it's up and down. It's up and down. And it's just one of those things. We've addressed the fact that we're not happy with where we're at. We're 2-5. We've got work to do to get better and get back on a good track.
Nathaniel Hackett, quarterback's coach, now offensive coordinator for the Jaguars. As Jaguars Monday continues, JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Frisco, your call's coming up.
Pete, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I, not that it matters. I probably should ask this off the air, but if we're on there, I'll ask. When something like this happens, will Nate get a pay raise? How does that work mid-season like that? Or like last year when Mularkey got – bumped up the head coach. Did he go?
I think sometimes they do. Sometimes you do. I don't think it's all the time though.
Yeah, I have no idea.
What's the difference in pay? You think
from a lot.
A lot.
Yeah,
I think significant.
Like a million, or I don't even know what the rate.
Yeah, it's
would
probably
be.
About no, probably 500,000 at least.
5 to 1 million.
Yeah,
but I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Greg was making. I don't know what.
But it's not like. But Tony, it's not like he's going to say, nah. I'll just stick where I'm at and take my pay that I'm making. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. As a coach, you wouldn't even ask what you're getting paid to promotion.
You would think because the budget is the same for the staff, so you would think that he'd get a bump up. Now, are they hiring a quarterbacks coach?
No, I think – listen, I think
– So he's going to handle both jobs.
That's how in most of history it's been handled, Pete. I don't think
– Yeah, I know.
And just as of late in the NFL where you have so many coaches. I mean, it's changed league-wide, not just here. I mean, there's more coaches than ever in the NFL and college.
Tony, when you're always talking about letting him free, okay?
Yeah, let me know.
Let's hear this.
At the end of the half, and I'm going to give you an example.
Should I start humming?
At the end of the half.
Free.
They went to the no huddle, and he started moving the football, right? Dink, dink, hit Bortles, hit Robinson for 6. He got it down. They got him for 9, then 6. They look like they're in the rhythm. So what do they do? They run read option with the quarterback.
A play that's been very good for them.
You take him entirely out of the little bit of rhythm that he had.
A play that he likes. But go ahead.
I don't care if he loved the play. Okay. The kid's got to get a rhythm throwing the football.
So never throw. So like, never run it again. Just throw it every
down. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, what are you saying then, Pete? Because your whole that doesn't explain that situation.
Freedom. In that situation right there, he was getting into a little rhythm, which he hadn't had in a long time, throwing the football, and they took it away from him by running a stupid read option play.
So that took him – he was no longer free. He was jailed at that point.
Then he came back on the next play and threw for 4 yards. Then he was sacked on the blitz by Williamson.
And that's because of that one play.
Well, it contributes to
it. Hold on. I just want to ask a question just so I understand this. I want to make sure everyone listening understands what your definition of freedom is. So if they wouldn't have called that zone read, he would have gone into this sense of Prisco freedom that you
– Nirvana, if you will.
Nirvana that you're speaking of so elegantly.
He's kind of been in it before, hasn't he? At times in his career?
Pete, that's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. I don't even know what you just said. What you said makes no sense.
You know exactly what I said. You just
don't
want to admit I'm right.
For the fact of listening to it for
I will
you
say,
just don't want to admit I'm right.
Guys, I will say this. Mercedes Lewis had a similar comment today in the locker room saying if things are going well, if we're running the ball 2, 3, 5, 7 yards, keep on doing that. If we're passing well, keep doing that. Don't have to let – you want to be kind of balanced. But if you're doing something well – keep doing it, and that's what Pete's trying to say.
They're not doing anything well.
Right, but when that is happening, just keep doing it.
Okay.
So that's what Mercedes has.
See, Tony's from old school 1920. He's got to talk balance all the time. Balance, 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 balance.
I've never said
that,
Pete.
Doesn't have to be balanced.
I never said anything about balance. I have not said that one time. I just said you're ridiculous to think because they called one zone read that some freedom you talk about that you can't even describe was taken away because of that one play. That's dumb. And if that's the case,
that
if that's how
play,
fragile
that
it is, if that's
that
how fragile
example.
It is, then we're lost. Give me, I mean,
that
give
was
me
an
a break.
Example.
It's a bad
one. That was
one.
An example.
Okay, great. Pick
that
another one
because
that was bad.
No, that was actually
dumb.
Really good.
No, it wasn't. It was awful.
And they always go – do they ever go pass – rarely do they go pass, whatever. If they go pass – complete for 7 yards, then they come right back and they automatically have to bunch up and run the ball again.
Well, always, right?
Not always, but a lot of times.
Well, you just said always. I want to make sure we're clear.
Do you think that there's any rhythm to the way they call
Pete,
plays?
Did you listen
in the
to anything I
games?
Said? Did you listen to anything I said at the top of the show? I said, I'm not a guy who likes to fire coaches, but the last 3 weeks, this offense has had no rhythm, no identity, no coordination between run and pass, nothing. So I understand why it was made. That's how
when
I started.
I throw out,
you start. No, you
when
start
I throw
talking
the
about
theory,
freedom and how
yeah,
Drake
free.
Needs to be
free. Loose,
that
free,
doesn't make
loose,
sense.
Free
until
up-tempo,
you can describe.
Fast,
until you can describe it to me. I don't want to hear you say that anymore because you can't describe what that means.
Oh, I can describe
okay,
it. There's plenty of teams out there that
go
play
ahead.
That way.
Go ahead, tell me.
Fast, free, up-tempo, spread, down the field, drive the ball,
whoa,
not bunch up and play run-based football.
Spread football is not a down-the-field offense. That's a typically spread, which like the New England and stuff like that, they don't take shots. It's all intermediate, crossing routes. That's –
And then, you hit the big ones over the top, like
don't.
Gronk in the middle of the field
no,
yesterday.
Oh, that's not over the top. Those are
the,
seam
he
routes.
He doesn't have anybody to go
Come
over the top
on,
in New England.
Pete. Well, you got
to
make your
he
mind
have anybody
up.
To go
do you
over
want
the
to
top
be a vertical passing team, or do you want to be a spread team? Because they're two different offenses completely.
No, I'm
you
not talking
just,
about a West
just,
Coast spread.
Just stop throwing terms out that don't go together and make no sense just because that's what people do that really don't know what they're talking about. That we
Tony.
Need to be spread
Tony.
And vertical and throw it and go down the field and free and free and I'm free. I don't know what that means.
Now you're talking. I finally convinced you. But
no.
Now you get it.
I'm mocking you. I'm mocking you.
No,
that's sarcasm.
You're not
sarcasm.
Mocking me.
Yes, I am.
I'm right.
No, you're not.
I'm right.
What you're saying, Pete, makes no sense.
I mean, I'll give you when you look at their formations a lot of the times, the splits look like they're really tight, on the receivers. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
The little slant pass that he completed to open the game to Allen Hurns, he had to squeeze that through about 12 different arms and legs to even get a throw in there. What the hell was that?
Oh, no, I saw Denver.
You know what I'm talking what I'm talking about.
I saw Denver run it yesterday pretty well, too, for a good 4 or 5 runs. It's almost like a run. It's like it's a high-percentage throw that's easy to get 4 or 5 yards on first down. You can't run it very often because they'll figure it out. But, yeah, I like that play. But that's your one example of their tight splits. Again,
I just
you're making
there's
stuff
no,
up, Pete.
There's nothing, everything that they, There's nothing, no rhyme or reason to what they run. There never was. I didn't think so. I never thought that. Ever thought that they were.
Pete, I said that. We've already gone over that. I agree with you there. But don't start throwing terms out like freedom and all this stuff, because you don't know what it means.
When he got into a rhythm at the end of the half, why would you defend the fact that they ran that stupid read option and took him out of it?
Pete, do you watch football on Sundays, or do you just sleep when it's on TV at that CBS place you work at? Because I watch teams all the time that get in a hurry up. And they go pass, pass, underneath handoff, pass, 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 underneath handoff, draw, pass, pass, screen. I watch it all the time. I rarely see teams outside of Brady or maybe Breeze that just go, we're just going to throw it all the way down the field all game. I just don't see that. But, I mean, maybe in your dreams as you're closing your eyes and thinking about Nirvana and peace and freedom, that's where you come up with that kind of stuff.
Pace. Pace, pace, pace.
Oh, there's another
another
little
buzzword.
Buzzword. Pace. Spread. Vertical. Freedom. Fast.
You're getting it. You're getting it, Baselli. No, I'm teaching you.
We're back. What injury update when we come back. Your calls in the second hour. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank. Jaguars Monday continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I didn't know what was going to take place. I didn't want to lead to speculation, nor did I, at that time, did I think there would be a coaching change. I think just as I gathered information and then had conversations with, you know, I did. I try to share things with Shad and Dave and keep them up to date. We've always talked about transparency and share them some things that were concerning to me, you know, but it's still my decision. It wasn't Shad's decision or Dave's decision. It was one that I had to feel comfortable with.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Got to remind you, you can book holiday events here at Everbank Field, including the U.S. Assure Clubs, the Terrace Suite, all of that.
Clubs are nice, too, man.
Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com for more information. That's it's holiday season. You're a Grinch.
Pool?
You're a Grinch, but that's okay.
No, I'm not a Grinch.
Yeah,
you are. Because I don't like – wait. What does the Grinch have to do with Halloween, JP?
No, I'm just in
the
general,
Grinch
you're
is
a Grinch.
Christmas.
Well, this is the holiday events. That's what I'm saying.
Nah, he's not a Grinch. He's
I
a
love
curmudgeon.
Christmas. Love Christmas.
Same thing.
No,
same
it's
thing.
Not. Different. I don't
ogre's,
like –
ogre's a good word.
Thank you.
I don't like
Tony,
Halloween.
Tony, somebody tweeted in and said when you were giving me crap about being the playing one of those little guys or whatever, you could play Lurch.
Yeah, I saw that. Family. It was good. That was a good one. I've heard that. You know what? The first time I heard that? When I was about 16, so very
creative.
You know
what? You do kind of resemble him a little bit, too,
That's right.
I have no problem with that. I mean, I've heard that my whole life, so.
Did you see the guy tweeted to me and you the stats?
The no-huddle stuff,
Did you like it?
Not relevant. Look at the sample size. It's tiny.
It's small, but
it's got some relevance. I could go manipulate stats however I want. I'll go find things where they're really good at a 13 personnel and he has a high rating. Or I mean, I'm making up personnel groupings here. And so I think that's a little too small.
Todd Wash has a bullseye on his back considering the track record keeps going. You got two offensive coordinators, one defensive coordinator. So he's next.
Okay, Pete.
Why is that so funny, Pete?
Because Pete's
but
a bad.
It's not funny. It's just.
Pete's a bad
here's
person.
Here's the thing.
I mean, that's why.
No, I'm not a bad person.
Yeah, yeah.
I love you. I'll be honest with you.
Friend. I like you a lot, but you're a bad person.
I probably would have done. If I'm Gus and I get my reprieve like he got the other night, I would have fired
Greg
Olsen.
Back up. He got a reprieve? That means that somehow he was sentenced to death and they called it off and he got a reprieve and now he's safe.
Whatever. The court of public opinion sentenced him to being fired.
Guess
Thursday
what?
Night, so. And so did Bill Cowher, and so did Phil Simms.
Tell
and
Bill
so
and Phil and the rest
everybody.
Of whatever name rhymes with those two to give their opinions. That's what they get paid to do. The fans can have their opinions, but there's only one person on this planet who determines the fate of Gus Bradley. One.
Who will
fire him or keep him. So unless he said he was on death row, there was no reprieve. Now,
Tony,
you can call it what you want, and I frankly, whatever Bill Cowher and Phil Simms are good at their jobs and respect them and what they do and what they've done, that's their opinion, and that's fine. That's what they get paid to do. But that's not going to determine whether what Shad does.
Did you think they quit the other night?
For the first time, Pete, I felt it that night, and I watching the film today, I thought there were guys loafing, and didn't want it look like they wanted to be out there,
particularly in the first half.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it looked like, and I hate saying it because I always try to err on the side of protecting the players and this team and everything else. I mean, if I'm going to err, I try to just tell the truth and what I see. But, you know, sometimes, and you know this, Pete, as well as I do, you know, there's gray air. It's a fine line, and if you're going to fall on one side, you choose which side you're going to be, negative or positive. You kind of, you know, because sometimes you can see it different ways. But watching that and watching it that night and watching it again, guys not finishing plays, not hustling, giving up on stuff, not doing their job, bad assignment football on both sides, okay. Offense and defense. Okay. It was bad, Pete.
Let me just say this, okay, because I have nothing but the utmost respect for Gus Bradley, the man, okay? And so do you. I know you do. But you got to take that aside. Push that aside. If somebody presented you with 14 and 44, and that game and the way this season has played out, you'd have a hard time saying he should still be the coach. And I'm not sitting here banging the drum to fire him. I'm just saying, if you looked at it from a rational point of view, you would say, boy, how does he still have a job? Take Gus Bradley name out of it. Take Gus Bradley the man out of it. You'd have a hard time justifying him still being around, Tony.
I agree and disagree with you. We'll talk about it after the break.
Okay.
Yeah, one injury update today by the team, by the way. Josh Wells returned to practice off that hand injury. The team has 21 days to make a decision regarding his status. No other updates on injuries. We'll come back. Second hour, your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's a challenging time right now. He's unbelievable. What do I say? But he wants results. And I do feel like the message he feels strongly, both Dave and him, feel like we can get this done. You know, whether other people believe, I don't know. But I know that's his belief. Listen, I know that the way we played on Thursday night was not something that I'm going to put at the top of life events that has taken place. It's challenging. It's challenging. But I also know that when you have support like this, you're like, you know what? We've got to do things right for this organization and for this fan base.
Head coach Gus Bradley discussing Jaguars owner Shad Khan's belief in the process here. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco, second hour underway. Your calls coming up, 355-NFL1.
So, Pete, you asked me if from a outside perspective of just looking at this, do I think that, or would I come in and say Gus Bradley needs to be fired? Is that basically the gist of the question? If I'm the owner, just looking at it from the outside.
Yeah.
And my answer is going to be yes and no. If I came completely from the outside and saw nothing but the record of 14 and 40, whatever, and watched that performance Thursday night, not knowing anything else, I go, wow. And if I was Bill Cowher and the rest of the guys and Phil Simms who made comments, because you and I both know, they don't spend a lot of time focusing on Jacksonville.
Correct.
They really haven't been following what's been going on. It's all peripheral. So that was their first real experience of seeing this team, correct? And if that was the first thing I saw, I'm not sure I wouldn't have said anything different. You know what they said. So that's where I would agree with your comment. But where I disagree, I have been here, and you have too, Pete, and you've said it, and I've agreed with you, that what Gus Bradley was asked to do with the blessings of the owner and with Dave Caldwell leading the way the first 2 years was to tear this down below what we had as a expansion team here in 1995 and to rebuild it. And so we all said, publicly and privately, in conversations you and I had, that those first 2 years, get whatever you can. It's going to be tough sledding. Correct?
Yes.
We all thought that last year would be a 7-win or so season, plus or minus. And then we all said, and I stand by it, that this year you better be competing to win the division and go to the playoffs. Accurate or not?
Correct.
So based on all that, that's why I would not make a decision if I was the owner of this ball club until January. Because I have been here since the beginning and see the process and what they're trying to do and what I've signed off on and what I've said, you know, this is where we're going. Because we're trying to build something long term. Now, if it does not work, I fully expect Shad Khan to say there needs to be a change. Because the one thing I know about Shad Khan, he cares deeply about this franchise. It is very important to him. It's very important for him to be the best at what we do in the stadium, from on the business side. Very obvious the investments he's made and what he has done for this of lifting up this organization from the investments and everything else. And it's very important to win. Extremely important. The mindset has been, we're going to try to build a winning organization for the long term instead of 2 years ago making quick fix and trying to throw free agents and everything else. All the things we all agreed with, by the way, but we knew were hard. And that's why I wouldn't. And that's why I disagree. I wouldn't make the comments that Bill Cowher, Phil Simms, or those guys made about Thursday night. Now, do I agree that Thursday night was awful? And is that a direct reflection on this coaching staff? Absolutely. What the players do on the field and the way they perform, whether it's effort, whether it's assignment, whether it's whatever the issues are.
Discipline.
That's on the players first. And it's at the end of the day, it is on the head coach and his staff. It is a direct reflection of the coaching staff. That doesn't mean they're bad coaches. That doesn't mean they're doing a bad job. But that's the responsibility when you're a coach. Whether it's coaching high school football like I do, or you're the head coach of an NFL team and on that staff. What those players do, and that's why it's a grind. It's first on the players, but it's on the staff. That's why I wouldn't fire Gus.
I get what you're saying.
That's why I wouldn't make the change, because Pete – and frankly, you've been here since the beginning too. That's why I don't blame these other national guys, because they haven't been paying attention to us. And we, guess what? We really don't deserve attention until we win. So I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at Bill Cowher. But that's why you have to look at the big picture, Pete. I think that's how you have to make the decision.
Here's the other thing you have to ask. Who's gotten better this year?
On the team. Marquise Lee.
Thank you.
He's healthy. I don't know if he's gotten better. He's healthy.
Pete, he's gotten better.
He's healthy, too.
Well, he's gotten better,
Who's
too.
Got, who are guys that
Telvin.
Played?
Telvin's better than he was last year.
Okay.
I mean, take away last week's game where they were all terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that. He's been better.
Telvin. Avery Jones has been
better. He's a backup, Tony.
Not anymore. He's starting out, Pete.
He's starting.
But he's a backup. He's a young player. He should be better.
Okay.
Has people gotten better?
You just asked me a question. Who's gotten better? He did.
You're grabbing the bottom of the barrel to find guys that have gotten better.
Marquise
Lee's
the bottom of the barrel?
How many guys have regressed?
Telvin Smith's at the bottom of the barrel.
No, Telvin's not.
Let me give you another guy who's gotten. Let me give you another guy who's gotten better. Jonathan Cyprian, gotten better.
How many guys have regressed?
Can you say at least these are guys who've gotten better? I don't know if Brandon Linder's better or worse because he didn't play much last year, but he's up until last week, I thought he played good football. So Brandon Linder's another guy playing good football.
There aren't a lot of them.
Paul Posluszny's better.
He's playing Allen better. Robinson's not better.
Okay.
Allen Hurns isn't better.
Fine.
Julius Thomas isn't better.
Well, he's no different.
TJ Yeldon's not better.
No different.
Blake Bortles clearly isn't better.
I agree with that one.
On the defensive side of the ball, Audrick hasn't gotten it.
I just named a bunch of people have, and you have to, and so it's a mixed bag. To your point, and that's not good. I'm not saying it's okay. It's a mixed bag, but I don't like when you start throwing these general statements like everyone is worse than last year. That's not true, Pete.
I didn't say everybody was worse. I said who got better.
No, but you asked it in a way like nobody's gotten better. Look at who's gotten better.
We fired off a few.
Yeah, you got to really my
point,
go.
But my point, no, you don't have to go that deep, Pete. I gave you starters.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, really? Telvin Smith, Jonathan Cyprian aren't better. Paul Posluszny isn't better.
You think Paul Posluszny's better than he was a year ago?
Yeah, he's playing at a high level. Yes, I do. Cyprian's much better.
Cyprian's definitely gotten better.
Kelvin Smith's better.
But I think Cyprian's better because they're using him the right way.
Could be. Could be.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. But to your point, there's too many people who have gone backwards, and that can't happen. And
correct.
I know where you're going with that is that's coaching.
Yes.
And at the ultimately, that's who's going to be judged by it. You're right. Now, I think if you're a pro, there's personal responsibility of working on your craft to get better as well. You can't just put it on coaching. The good and great players never put it on coaching. They take responsibility for themselves. But to your point, that is in this league and in this world, whether it's professional or college football, that is that is reflected on the coach, and the coach is judged by that. And that does not – guys aren't playing very good. Why they're losing, and if it doesn't change, it does not bode well for Coach Bradley, for Gus and his staff. It doesn't bode well.
Well, Gus knows that. Gus is a smart man.
They know that.
He knows what's staring
him
in the face.
The whole point
of
this conversation was I don't think – you asked me a question. Would I fire Gus if I was the owner? And ultimately the answer is no, because I've been here from the beginning. But if you just jumped into a situation based on the last couple of weeks and with the exclamation point of Thursday night.
Like if he bought the team last week.
Oh, gosh, I'd be like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, but Tony, look, I'm one of the guys that always has preached patience too. And I still, even to this day, I still think, okay, what if you did fire him? What are you going to do? Promote Marone? What's that going to do? You know what I mean? What does it accomplish? But there were things in that game that I saw the other night that, and it's not just that game. I told you last week there were things in that game a week ago against Oakland that I did not like. I don't like seeing. And, you know, I just think at times coddling players, and I think there's too much coddling going on at times. And I think that shows up on Sunday. I think that shows up on Thursday. I do. I think, you know, yeah, he yanked Fowler out of the game.
Yeah.
And I'm okay for that. But, not, I mean, what is that? I mean, it's a whole half.
Well,
does that accomplish anything?
Well, Pete, wait a second. You are such a dang hypocrite.
No. Why didn't he? Okay,
because
if you're
last
do that,
week
why didn't
you were
he
saying,
yank
why
Randy
did,
out?
Last week you were saying, why didn't he yank him out? Why didn't he yank him out? And now he yanks
him
out.
No, I said get him off the sideline.
I mean,
I said get him off the sideline.
You're turning into that, I've made my mind up, and so I'm going to twist the facts and the narrative
I haven't
to
made
fit my,
mind my up.
Decision.
No, I would grab guys, sit them down for a play, and then
you
put
grab
them back
guys.
In.
What do you mean grab guys? Like
you know, just
grab their face mask
say,
and yell at them?
No, I wouldn't do that.
I'd
yell at them, though.
I probably would.
Do you grab face masks at your high school players?
No comment.
Oh, my gosh. I got to watch one of your games. Those poor kids.
Wow. The kids love me.
You guys want to open the phone?
I don't think they do.
I think they do, Pete.
I don't think they do.
I think I would be voted the most liked coach on the staff.
It is actually interesting to watch him coach, Pete. If you ever
JP's been there.
Oh, it's a treat.
Does he go nuts?
He gets a little heated at times, yeah. Especially with the Baselli kids out there.
Yeah. I'll say this. I've always coached my kids the hardest.
It's good, though. It's the way it should be. Hey, you want to open the phone lines?
I can't wait.
Here we go.
Yeah, my favorite, part
is it,
of the
is
show.
Is it too far removed for grades?
Yes.
We can hop in a few of those.
No, let's just do phone calls.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's only one defensive player that got a positive grade. One.
I can't think of any.
Cyprian.
All right. Yeah, he played pretty well.
Yeah.
There were three offensive players that got positive grades.
Marquise?
Nope. Julius Thomas?
No.
No. Alan Hearns? No. And Jeremy Parnell?
I thought JP played pretty well.
Gave up a bad sack, though.
Which one was that?
It was a sack.
Morgan.
Went right around
Derek Morgan went
around. Oh, that's right.
He went around him.
Yeah,
that was second half, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was later.
I turned it off.
Tony,
I tried
blitz,
to forget about
on the blitz.
It.
On the blitz where Williamson came up, that's next to Cannon, Parnell. Who's supposed to slide there? It looked like the protection was going to the left. And
it was
Jeremy
going the wrong way,
over.
Number one. You had six guys block six. It should have been a slide right. And why they slid left where you had the tight end staying in, I have no idea, Pete.
Actually blocked the right guy.
Yes,
Parnell blocked the right guy,
yes,
right?
Yes. It's somewhere inside between Omame, Linder, and Cannon. Bad communication.
Yeah, they should have slid. It looks like because Parnell looked like he was at fault.
Or the quarterback. Maybe the quarterback told him to go the wrong way. I don't know, but whoever did it was dead wrong.
Okay.
Let's go to the phone lines, 355-NFL-1, and we'll start off this evening with Charlie in Arlington. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight? Love
What's
your
up,
show.
Chuck?
Great show. I've got a few comments, then I'll take my comments off the air. Bortles bringing in this guy to help him out with his footsteps or his throwing arm. Really? He's been in the league 3 years. That should be past that thing. And I look at other teams like Derek Carr. He's in a better position, doing very good this year. Jameis Winston, yeah, he's throwing a lot of picks, but he's putting up points. Everybody's putting up 30 or above or more points a game. And it's sad to say, Cleveland, as bad as they are being more competitive than Jacksonville Jaguars. They stay in the games. They work hard. They may not win a game this year. So I don't know what's going on. And the bottom line is, if you get rid of Bradley, who's out there that can do a better job? Can't promote from within, and there's not a lot of guys out there that can step up and be a head coach. I'll take my comments off the air, and you guys have a great night. Great show. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. Is it ever having a coach on the side? Is that ever a bad thing? I don't think that is. A lot of the great ones still have coaches on the side, right?
I just think that's something you focus in the offseason. So I think it's a good thing.
I'm with you on that.
I have no problem with the coach on the side. No, I mean, Tom Brady's still as good as he is.
Exactly.
He still goes and does that. I just worry about it during the season, but it is what it is.
What do you say about that, Pete?
Desperate times, desperate measures.
Fire somebody during the season?
No. Having a coach on the side.
No.
You don't like it. You don't like having coaches on the side.
You mean like Blake's bringing his guy in to help him? No, not during the season. I think that's
Oh,
be,
but no.
I mean,
just
look,
in general,
I know coaches hate that. NFL coaches hate the coach on the side. But then the flip side is they'd rather see the guy working than not doing anything. You know what I mean? So it's like because they get taught some things and they come back. Like I actually went. Remember Tony? I went did that thing with Bentley and stuff. And some of those guys will get the work on technique that they learn there and then go back to the thing and they're more comfortable with it. And the line coaches get mad about it,
right?
Because they don't do it the way you know that. Because you there were certain ways you like to do something and Mazur wanted you to do it his way. In the game when it came to battle time, you somehow reverted to doing it the way that made you were successful doing it, right?
I always say this, offensive line play. There are certain concrete rules and techniques that you need to do, and then there's some things that you can kind of personalize. It's not science, it's more art at times. So you need to know the basics, but then each guy's body type and how what their strengths and weaknesses are, you're going to kind of build the game around that. So I think the fundamentals, and I think that's what Blake's dealing with at the quarterback position, is the fundamentals. I think that is pretty consistent, and if you're trying to coach something besides fundamentals, whether it's an offensive line or outside the building and you're doing it a different way, that's where you get in trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You got to do the fundamentals, but you also at times you got to revert to doing something that you feel comfortable doing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Hey, let's get one more call before the break. Let's go to the beaches and say good evening to Chris. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing tonight?
All right.
Hey, just so
I'm born and raised in Tampa. Just wanted to say that the Jaguars make me proud to be a Bucs fan. I've been trying to support the Jaguars for the last almost 4 years. I came real close this year just listening to all the radio shows on this station. Got me fired up to almost become a Jaguar fan, but it's just too hard. I got to go back to the Bucs.
Okay. Right.
Well,
have a nice time.
Yeah,
see
enjoy.
Ya.
Enjoy Raymond James Stadium down there.
Enjoy your time. No problem.
It's great.
Call their show.
Much like watching his defense give up 5-12 to Carr.
Wow.
And the caller before us used Tampa Bay as one of the examples of teams scoring 30 all the time. Just so we stick with the facts, Tampa Bay averages 21.7 points a game. Jacksonville's at 19.9. So they're averaging neither is good, by the way, but they're averaging less than one more point a game than the Jaguars. So let's pick our poison before. Like if you had mentioned Atlanta or New Orleans or San Diego, New England, Oakland, he mentioned, those are teams averaging over 26 points a game. Those are good offenses.
Just the facts, ma'am. That's all we need. We'll come back in a moment. More of your calls, 355-NFL-1. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, it's unbelievably unfortunate. It taught me a lot and did a lot of good for this organization. You know, but things happen, things change, and just because, you know, I think there's been a move made or a switch has happened doesn't mean we're all of a sudden going to start putting up numbers offensively and winning games. You know, we still have to go out and find a way to execute and still, you know, eliminate the stuff that's been happening for the previous 7 weeks. It's different. You know, it's a change, and that's exactly what it is. It's different. It's something to adjust to and figure out, but we still got 9 games to play and a lot of football.
Blake Bortles earlier today, Jags quarterback. Jaguars Monday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco on Halloween. Scary.
Tony loves Halloween.
You know, we got a few minutes here. So we're talking quarterback and offensive coordinator and philosophy and all that. It starts up front, Tony. What happens up front? What's the change to get it going, especially in the run game up front? Have you what did you see on tape last week? Or where do you start there? If you're starting there, pass protection has been okay for the most part this year, right?
A lot of blown, not last week, not right. At key times,
right?
Offensively, at times it looks like the scheme's good and it's just missed assignments and bad execution. At times against Tennessee, I thought maybe we were running uphill a little bit into bad looks. I think the biggest thing, whether it's run or pass, the way you get the – because everyone says, how do we get the run going? Let's just get the offense going. And this is where I do agree with Pete. I think sometimes you can get so focused on, we got to get the run going, we got to get the run going, we got to get the run going, that you beat your head up against the wall. Instead of saying, how can we get our offense going? Because we're – I hate to admit it, but where Pete does have some credibility, sometimes the best way to loosen up a defense, you throw it a little bit early, and then you start running the ball right down their throats because you get some favorable looks. Unless you're going to commit like Tennessee has and go that big personnel, then you can create that on your own sometimes. I mean, there's different philosophies. So I think the attitude needs to be not how do we get the run game going, how do we get this offense going, and the way you get the offense pass, run going is you have to have a coordination between both from, you know, sometimes you're doing too much, so you need to simplify it. Sometimes you're not getting in the right formations to give you an advantage and you're running uphill against numbers, that's not good. But it definitely needs to coordinate between the two. And so you're running and you're play action off that run look and you're given different – you're stressing the defense with your ability to be able to do both out of similar personnel groupings and similar formations. And so I hope that's how Hackett, Nate, is approaching it. Let's look at this and say, okay, what do we do well, run and pass? And how can we marry the two together? And what does our personnel fit us to do? And you go from there.
Tony, I thought just watching – again, I just briefly looked at it today, but watching some of the runs, when they pull – their linemen and pull the tight ends and try and get the win.
The problem is like you have penetration.
Yeah, they get shoved back in.
Awful,
them.
Pete. Yeah. Terrible. Bad job. It was really bad. Here's the biggest thing. I think it was the first play of the game, maybe the second. I don't remember. I can't remember the order. What was the first play of the game?
Stand by. I'll get to that.
Well, anyways, they line up and they have if I remember correctly, it's a designed cutback play.
First play, Yeldon left tackle for 2 yards.
Okay, it's a design cutback play where you got the offense working in a inside zone front side. TJ takes a step and then bends it back. We used to call it, you know, 34 bend or 34 cutback.
And there's a free runner there. I'm watching it right now. There's a linebacker standing there waiting for
him. So, Pete, go to the beginning of that play.
Okay.
Based on the alignment, it is blocked wrong on the backside. The way the combination block should not have been between Beecham and Amame to work up to that backer, because where is the backer stacked at the start of the play?
The backer's outside.
He's stacked over the defensive end, basically.
Over Beecham. Of him, actually. Yeah, over Beecham.
So the double team should have been between the tight end and the tackle. At that point, you put that linebacker in a huge bind, and it's a positive play of five or more. But because
the actual double wasn't between the tight end. I'm looking at it right here. Omami blocked down on the nose.
Yeah, but look where Beecham goes. He goes down. He goes way inside. If they double that guy up to the backer, now I have it in front of me, so maybe it's not that first play, but it's a
play. It's not that play because they doubled. They actually. What happened there is, and I'll give you the play is Omami blocked down on the nose, which he probably
Hollywood. Can we bring that play up?
He's not.
And then Beecham got a little bit of penetration on his guy, pushed him back a little bit, and Lewis blocked down on him, and Koyak blocked the end. And
no, it's a different play. Different play.
Okay.
Oh, no, you know what it was? That's it. I had it wrong. You had Koyak, you had Mercedes, and you had Beecham, right? Beecham should have solo – and you had – I'm sorry, I had it mixed up. I had the wrong guys there. Omame should have gone and blocked the nose. Beecham should have based the defensive end on him. That backer stacked outside. The two tight ends should have doubled that defensive end up to the backer because now you have a man for a man, and you're controlling the gap integrity. And now Yeldon – it's a design cutback play. So that's why IDing and understanding the concept of the play. So if I'm a tight end and I line up there, I know it's design cutback. So we're trying to get those backers to work a little forward. But if that backer stacked over me, I can't be going selling out with the tackle because if he falls up backside at all, I have no chance of getting him.
Yeah,
you have to double with the tight end based – and your double, your targeting, or your aiming points are dictated by the play and alignment of the down guys and where the backers are. And that dictates
who
Mercedes you
work with. So Mercedes blocked the wrong guy then.
Yes, Mercedes and Koyak should have doubled. But
Koyak couldn't come off the guy because
Mercedes didn't
block him.
They should have called a double.
Right.
I mean, we'd call backside scoop.
So if you're gonna blame somebody on that play, you blame Mercedes. He blocked the wrong guy. Koyak got caught because
here's my point. I don't know who I blame because is that how it was coached to go do that, or was it coached
that way? They're not getting any yards on that play.
That's a problem. Or is it coached to tell the tight end based on the alignment of that backer? If he bosses over strong, meaning he adjusts over strong, double with the tight end. I mean with the tackle. If he stays backside in that stack position, you're doubling with the tight end. I don't know. If it's coached that way, then it's on Mercedes. So that's why I always say Pro Football Focus, making these statements like that's his fault. Well, you don't know whose fault it is. We just sat here talking about the play, and depending on how it's coached, what the rules are, determines whose fault it is. But I know this. It's not blocked successfully, and they have no chance of getting it. That is a design cutback. I could see blocking it that way if it was inside zone where TJ is going to press the front side to get that backside backer running to the front side, then you can double with the tackle. But on a design cutback, you got to double with the two tight ends up to that stack backer. So those are that's the things. And so
that play wasn't going to get a lot of yards anyways because they didn't. Even the front side backer didn't respect.
Yeah, but if they block it right in the backside,
right, they get caught up in the junk.
No, he gets the backside. They block. They got that stack backer. That if that front side backer runs all the way over to get it, it's a 5-yard gain.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah, right. It'll be a good game.
That's a win in football.
Not one or two, right?
Now it's first and it's second and five. That's a win.
Yeah,
that's the difference between winning and losing football. And so when you ask what can Hackett, Nate change, Nathaniel change, well, if you can make sure, and at the end of the day, that always comes back to coaching. Now it could be coached right, but the players aren't doing that. Guess whose fault that is?
Right.
It's the coaches.
Either it was coach wrong. Or Mercedes blew it.
And either way, the coaches are going to get blamed for it because the job of the coaches is to make sure the players are doing what they're supposed to do.
And the coaches are going to take the
blame. But you can clearly see if Mercedes and Koyak double that guy there, then Mercedes handles him, then Koyak goes to leaves him and goes to the backer, and then you got a little crack or crease there.
Yeah, that's how you run successfully. So maybe it needs to be communicated better. Maybe you need to find other people to do it. Maybe you need to simplify. Maybe there's too much in there. I don't know what it is. I'm not in those meetings, but that's what you hope the change will do and allow a new voice, a new vision, a new way to communicate it, and maybe it'll sink into the players and they'll be more effective. Ole gets is the fall guy here. That's the way it works.
Tony, do you like the power plays where
yes.
they pull. Right. I like them too. You just can't have that penetration or you get nothing.
So penetration kills the run game, especially when you're talking about power. Because if you get any penetration on the front side, you're going to either knock off those pulling guards or you're going to bubble them so far that they get too much depth and the timing's out of sorts. So it's a good play. It's a well-thought-out football play. Now, the one thing you have to decide if you are any NFL team is you have to decide, are you going to be a heavy gap team and run occasional zone, or are you going to be a heavy zone team and run occasional gap? I don't know what this team is.
If you had to pinpoint it right now, you can say
they want to be zone first.
Right.
But I'm saying watching, they don't have that one thing they can hang their hat on. In fact, the best run of the day is more of a power football double team, three tight ends, get a bunch of double teams and hit the crease. It wasn't zone. It was you can call it a lot of different things. Some people, you know, there's different names for that play, but it's just downhill off tackle.
So, we'll see. They've got a little time before going to Arrowhead.
Yeah, that's not an easy place. Let's talk about Arrowhead coming back. I played there. You've been there a bunch. It's
Yeah.
And
not usually the place you go when you say, we're going to get well this week.
No, not when you're going to try and get right. No.
We'll do that. We'll look around the National Football League as well, get the AFC South Power Rankings heading into Week 9. PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. A look around the NFL when we come back. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, who is the king of radio apparently, and Pete Prisco.
J.P.'s all bent out of shape at me.
Why?
Because
he's like trying to decide
nice
what sound.
Soundbite here.
What sound to play. We don't
Tony's
need
like,
sound.
No, I want to talk.
I
want to talk. No sound. We want to hear from Gus anymore.
No, I didn't say
so
that.
You said,
I
said
we, that's a lie now.
I said
we don't need sound
saying,
right now.
Did you see the guy tweeting saying 30 minutes later we have successfully broken down one play?
Yeah, that's what I was going to go back to. Here are back-to-back tweets I got, Pete. I think you got them. Oh, no, you only got one of them. So these came literally seconds apart. I got the 30 minutes later we've successfully broken down one run play, like being very sarcastic.
It's pretty funny.
Yep. Yeah. The next tweet, 30 seconds later, if that. If you could do this type of play breakdown a lot more often, that would be great. Two different guys going back and forth. What it tells you, you can't please anybody. You try to please everybody, please nobody. Is that how it goes?
People inherently want to gripe.
Yeah. That's what JP's doing right now.
I was saying,
let's change it up. We don't need sound every time. We'll come back with this little tweet.
That was a nice soundbite. That's
okay. A little talk about tweets. And JP literally started tearing up like, I can't believe you're doing this.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's embarrassing. Pete.
He's executive producer, JP.
Yeah. Well, apparently so.
Joe,
add that to his title to Pride.
Joe
Pride
Green.
Of the Jags.
You know, I'm blaming you. You're an enabler now. This is your fault.
Well, you know what, Tony?
Yeah, your fault.
Joe agrees with me.
No, you're an enabler. You should
agree
just play the sound.
I tend to agree with Tony on this one, too.
Yeah, Pete agrees with me, too.
I agree with Tony, too, on this one. More of us is good.
I agree with that. That's the whole show. I get that. That's all. I just from time to time, I like to play a soundbite.
We have had sound every comeback.
It's a lot of good sound today. I mean, you had Gus, you had Hackett, you had Blake.
We've heard from all.
We have.
The inmates can't run the asylum.
Yes, they can. You obviously haven't been to my house.
The ogres can't run the Halloween show. Let's go around the National Football League and start off with the Kansas City Chiefs. Alex Smith cleared from the first hit in the game, came back in, and then sustained the concussion on another hit. Was out of the ball game. The Chiefs beat the Colts. This will start our AFC South talk, too. But, Pete, I know you were not a big fan of that whole situation with Alex Smith.
No, not at all. Once he had the first concussion, and we were watching it live, we're sitting there, he was woozy, man. He was out on his feet. Get him out of the game. Do not. I don't care what kind of concussion protocol he passed. Get him out of the game and keep him out of the game.
I couldn't disagree more with you, Pete.
Why?
Because that's why it's called the concussion protocol. If you go through the protocol and you pass it, go play. If you don't,
Tony,
stay out. Then why do we have a protocol, Pete? Why? So
well, I mean, I get
it. No, no, no. You don't, obviously, because you just said, let's not.
You saw your former coach. Your former coach came right out and said today, he said he thinks that once you get one of those concussions like that, get out of the game and don't get back in no matter what.
He passed it. He didn't have a concussion. He went through the protocol and passed it. So okay. Now you're just going to determine, you're going to allow, listen, you're going to allow doctors just to sit there, and if you pass, I'll say this, if I was a player and I passed that protocol, you're not keeping me out of the game. Now, if I don't, then keep me out. But if I pass the concussion protocol, I'm playing. Otherwise, why do we have one, Pete?
What is it? What is the
no, how, is why the do we have one?
This, I don't know. Is it the same in every place? Or yes. Does the doctor come over and go?
Yes, it's the same. There's a protocol you go through, a procedure you walk through, and if you pass it, you're cleared to play. And I don't think we want doctors or you or anybody else or coaches making that determination based on their gut feeling. You go through the protocol, and if you pass it, you play. If you don't, you stay out. I agree with that. Because what happens if you go the other way? You're like, well, it's gray. We're not sure. He can play, and you're wrong. Follow the protocol. All right, well, that's why it's in place, Pete.
We disagree on that one.
No, you're wrong.
What if you change the protocol to what Pete's saying?
What, he can go back? You can pull him even if he passes?
Well, you change what the passing is. Oh, God. Maybe they missed it the first time.
I swear.
Maybe it didn't come on until later.
I swear, you're part of the problem, JP. Stupid comments like that.
Just saying.
And what Pete says, now we're all of a sudden, we're so scared of our own shadow.
So why have the independent guy upstairs pull guys out of the game?
And then
they don't know.
Yeah, but then they put him through the protocol, and if you pass the protocol, you go back in. He passed the protocol.
Tony, you know,
you're
the grand scheme
you're part of
things,
the problem. No, you're not part
no,
of the
I'm
solution
No, I'm not part
anymore.
Of the problem. The grand scheme of things, I could care less, to be honest with you. I mean, if they want to play, they play. But that's the rule. That's the way it is. You got to be careful.
No, that's not the – you don't have to be careful. That's not the rule. The rule is you follow the concussion protocol. If a player doesn't pass it, he's done for the game. If he passes the concussion protocol, he's allowed to return. It's that simple.
Do we know what the concussion protocol is? Nobody ever says what it is.
Well, I'm sure the league does. I'm sure the doctors do. Yeah. I mean.
Look, the bottom line, the guy was out on his feet almost, and he went back in the game.
You don't know that.
Well, sure looked that way.
So now we're going to go by what it looks like on TV. Okay.
Is that what the guy upstairs does?
No. He pulls him off, JP, and then he puts him through a protocol. If the guy passes the protocol, he can go back in.
Yeah, he has to.
He passed the protocol.
Is your name Alex? Yes. Okay, back in you go.
Oh, now you're making – see. Pete, this is the problem.
How many three fingers am I holding
no,
up?
No, here's the problem with people like you in the media. We start making comments like that, and maybe you're joking, Pete, but people take them serious, and they think it's something with the league and the NFL doesn't care about players and all this stuff, and that's not true, and it's not fair. And so this is a serious subject, and so I don't appreciate you or JP mocking it and saying that it's not right. If the guy passes the protocol that's been put in place with an independent neurologist and he is allowed to go back in because they said he passed it, then he should play. And if he doesn't, then he stays out. It's black and white. And you make little stupid comments with your sidekick here, you know, Baldy, is wrong.
Oh, really? Had to get a shot at that, too.
He went low, man.
It was sneaky. No, I mean, that's not really original, but that's okay. I can handle it. So the question will be, moving forward, will Alex Smith be available this week?
If he passes the protocol.
Yes, but will he be available will be a question throughout the week. They beat the Colts. The Colts are now 3-5, by the way, in the AFC South. And a little disappointing in Indianapolis.
Everyone talks about the major issues going on here, which there are. It's a tough season. But Colts aren't far behind, Pete.
No, and you know, the quarterback, Kurt, you know, covered up for some of those ills last week in Tennessee. This week against the Chiefs, he couldn't.
Six sacks.
They're bad. They're not good.
Ford's
actually – by the way, D Ford is a name you got to – he's starting to play some good football for the Chiefs, by the way.
That's the Auburn guy, right?
They got three good – they have three good pass rushers there in Kansas City. Tomba Hali has fallen off a little bit, but he's still solid.
Right, and
but
when
D Ford,
Houston comes back
– Houston.
When Houston comes back, it's going to be D Ford and Houston, I think.
What is his – what I can't remember. What's Houston's injury right now?
He's coming off an ACL, remember? He had ACL – remember he
at
played
the
at the
end of
the last year?
Yep.
Yeah. And he wasn't hurt. He was hurt, and then he had surgery.
So he hasn't played any snaps. I haven't started studying my Chiefs yet. And I'll get started.
No, he
here.
Has not.
Okay.
The Houston Texans are now 5-3. They beat the Lions 20-13. Houston.
The Lions kicked a field an onside really early, didn't they, Pete?
Yeah, with three timeouts.
And Caldwell's explanation was they couldn't stop the run. And I haven't watched it, and maybe they couldn't. They couldn't have played that bad defensively if they only given up 20 points.
No, that was a bad decision. It was he kicked the field goal to make it 7 with 2:50, I think it was.
Yeah, you have 3 timeouts.
And all 3 of his timeouts, and he kicked the onside kick.
Kick it deep.
Yep, kick it deep. That was a bad decision. And you know, the Texans, Osweiler was a little bit better, but he didn't throw the ball down. He only threw for like 180 or something.
1 touchdown, 1 interception. His numbers were not good.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. But, you know, they're undefeated at home. They haven't lost at home yet.
They got
whacked on the road.
They've had 5 home games already, right? 5 and 0.
Yep.
It's a long end of the season, though, for them. A lot of road games coming up. We all saw what the Titans did on Thursday night to the Jags, so this
Thanks,
should
JP,
make the
yeah.
AFC South power rankings fairly clear now.
Very
guys.
Easy. It is very crystal clear this week.
Okay.
Houston is 1, Tennessee is 2, Jacksonville is 3, and Indy is 4.
Wow.
I don't think
Houston is
Jacksonville
is
and
one.
Indy are both playing poor football, and the only reason I put Jacksonville ahead of them is because they beat Indy.
No. Houston is 1. Tennessee is 2, Indy is 3, and Jacksonville is 4.
Agree to disagree, but that's fine.
There you have it, AFC
you
South.
You wear pom-poms.
No, I put them 3rd. How is that pom-poms, Pete? neither team is playing well, and who won the head-to-head?
You couldn't put them ahead of either of the other two, so you had to put them where
No, but who won the head-to-head matchup 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, but they got one more win than they do, though.
Well, I just go by the fact that they played each other. And the Jaguars beat the Colts, and neither has played good football since. So I'll go with
Jacksonville
the
Jaguars. Was 2-11, and the Colts were 11-2, but lost to the Colts. You put the Colts ahead of you put the Jaguars ahead of the Colts.
Now you're being ridiculous, Pete, because there's only one game. There's only one game difference between them.
The glasses aren't that teal, Pete. Apparently, other big news around the league: Panthers beat the Cardinals 30-20. We'll get to some other stuff too. But Cam Newton complaining about too many hits and not enough penalties again. What do you make of all that, Pete?
I thought the big news was his outfit.
No.
The big news is, and you know what? He's right.
Taking too many.
Yeah, he takes shots that would be flagged by from Tommy Brady or Drew Brees or anybody else.
I'm not sure about that, Pete. I think sometimes it's perception because he takes a lot. He takes a lot more hits because he's a running back there. Number one.
Well, he takes a lot more hits because he also fends off a lot more of them too. So
but I was at the Denver game yesterday. I did that for Westwood One, and Phillip Rivers got drilled in the knees, much like Cam. And they didn't call. They picked up the flag. They said, no, it's not a penalty. And same situation as Cam. And so Phillip Rivers is a guy.
I think Cam's taken more shots over the last couple of years than most guys. But it's not glaring.
It's not.
Anything,
that's my point. I'm not. He might be. I haven't done the statistical analysis. I think sometimes our perception is it's a lot more because he also runs quarterback power. He's the only quarterback in the league.
Well, not just that. Because he fends off guys and takes more. Like a guy will hit him hard. He'll bounce off him, and then another guy will take a shot, and then somebody will come in late and give, so he takes more shots, whereas like a guy like Brady will go down. But he does take more and doesn't get the calls at some guys. You know, Tom, there's something to be said about longevity in the league for one thing. A guy like Tom Brady's going to get more calls than maybe a guy like Cam Newton will. That's the bottom line.
Tom Brady will also fall down on his own much more than
Cam Newton.
He's
a smart
Newton.
Man.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say it was dumb.
Business decision. A trade in the NFL
today.
That's
the big news. That's right there. I want to hear Pete on this one.
Patriots traded Jamie Collins, the linebacker, to the Browns in exchange for a 3rd-round compensatory pick.
And you're already hearing whispers out of their Devon McCourty coming out and saying, we just traded away our best defensive player.
Well, I'll say this. He's not even their best linebacker this year. Dont'a Hightower's been their best linebacker. I'm a Collins guy. I've always been a Collins guy. I loved him coming out of Southern Miss. And, you know, people pan that pick. And, he was one of those run-and-chase linebackers who can rush the passer and can be athletic and all that. Having said all that, they drafted a kid in the 6th round named Ulendon Roberts, who's playing great football for him when Collins didn't play the last couple weeks. It's cheaper. Collins is an unrestricted free agent. You're going to have to pay him after the season. Hightower's an unrestricted free agent. Malcolm Butler's going to be a free agent next year, their best corner. Jabal Sheard is an unrestricted free agent. So you can't keep them all. That's why they traded Chandler Jones, which I didn't like either. But I get it. I understand it. If I'm the Browns, I find a way to keep Jamie Collins. Another thing, too, Tony, he's asking for Von Miller money.
He's not Von Miller.
He's asking for Von Miller money, and he's undisciplined at times. He's a freelancer, and I'll give you an example. Go, and you'll look at this if I tell you. Second play of the game yesterday, he's the linebacker. He's supposed to scrape to the outside. He shoots the gap. Running back goes to the outside, runs for 28 yards. Stuff like that. So,
right.
Yes, he's wonderfully talented. One, and supposedly got into an altercation with the defensive coordinator, a verbal altercation. He's wonderfully talented, but there are times when you sit there and you go, boy, you can just tell he's not playing the defense.
Don't you
and
think?
You know that.
Don't you think Cleveland already has a deal in place for him before they made that trade?
You're not you would gonna, think. Why would you trade for
yeah,
him?
Yeah, you're
right?
Not going to give him a third rounder if you're going to lose him in 8 weeks.
Right.
So, what impresses me about the Patriots, well, one, you have the luxury of making that move because you have Tom Brady.
Right.
And you have had success. But with that said, and I don't like this as a player, but it's reality. Sometimes the best decisions, and this doesn't just go for football, but the best decisions are made in life when you remove all emotion out of them. And I think sometimes it's hard for individuals, teams, organizations to do that. Bill Belichick has zero emotion or loyalty. I shouldn't say loyalty because that sounds like it's a bad thing. He is indifferent, and the only thing that matters is what's best for the organization. He's not concerned. And not that I'm not saying he's a bad guy for it, or maybe he is. I don't know Bill. But he makes decisions based on one thing and one thing only. What is best not only now but long-term for this organization for us to continue to build it and to win? And there's no emotion.
You have to have respect for it. You have to have respect for it because, but again, like you said, Tony, it's a lot easier to do that
when you have
Tom Brady around.
I'm not saying that, but am I right, Pete? He has zero emotion. There's no attachment
None.
To any
zero.
Player.
There's no loyalty whatsoever. He could care less. I mean, look, him and Brady have been together for all those years. There's no relationship there. There's nothing whatsoever.
As soon as Tom can't help him win a championship,
goodbye.
He will get rid of him. There will be no swan song. There will be no Kobe Bryant season. We'll pay you just to be around.
No gifts from other teams.
No gifts.
Nope. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Time to go.
Enjoy your jewelry. You know, have fun.
Go ask Vince Wilfork.
The reality is, Tony.
Go ask Vince Wilfork. Go ask Willie McGinnis. Go ask Richard Seymour. Go ask.
Go ask you. Look at you. Look what happened to you.
Different, though.
Yeah, but you were injured. But still,
no,
look what happened to you. It happened.
No, but here's why it's different, Pete. There was a financial forced risk, and I don't want to get into my situation with the injuries. You and I both know there's a lot to it.
Yeah, I know, but
the difference is here with Jamie Collins and list the other players that some of the other guys I just talked about, they make decisions and they take the name and everything away from it, and they look at it big picture and how we want to build this team. And there's zero emotion attached to Jamie Collins being a Patriot.
Right.
Zero.
Even though they drafted him in the second round, they don't care.
Doesn't matter.
And that's the way it should be. But, again, you can do that when you have Tom Brady because you don't need the great, great defense. You just need a good defense.
And I don't think – and I think because of the success Belichick has had, obviously with Super Bowls and, I mean just winning, is he is unafraid to admit if they've made a mistake drafting a player. So, okay, he'll just move on. Where I think it's hard sometimes in this league because those draft picks are so valuable, and if you don't have that track record, I think it's hard to make the moves, some of the moves he's made. And not that he's always right. They've missed them like anybody else. I'm act, but as soon as I heard that Jamie Collins was getting traded, I was like, that dude is calculated and just
cold.
I mean, there's just zero emotion.
Yep.
But I go back to some of the best and I tell people all the time because we all get emotional. And one of the rules I try to live by, and I don't always do it very well because I'm an emotional person.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Is I try to make no major decisions when I'm emotional. Because
let's make a major decision and get to Monday Night Football.
It'll cloud your – but am I right, Pete?
No, you're right. Yeah, you're 100% right.
All right, Monday Night Football before we get Pete out of here. The Minnesota Vikings 5-1 coming off an awful loss to the Eagles. They visit Chicago.
Upset special.
And the 1-6 Bears, Jay Cutler, back under center after missing 5 weeks of the thumb injury. Pete's calling for an upset.
Where is it at?
In Chicago. They're basking in the glow of the Cubs win last
night. I told you last week, in your current state, weighing 280 pounds and not being able to lift 225 pounds more than four times, you'd be the starting tackle for the Vikings right now. They are putrid on the offense.
How much would they pay me, Pete? Because I might be willing to come up there.
I don't know. They're paying Jake Long. He came back out of retirement. He stinks.
If Chicago had any pass rush that I was afraid of, I would be picking them to win this game. But that defense against a guy who is prone to make mistakes, coming off a thumb injury on his throwing arm, and isn't afraid to just throw it to the wrong jersey, I just think defensively the Vikings get it done and have enough, because there's not a – Willie Young's a nice player, but not enough to take it over.
There you have it, Monday Night Picks. What show do you do right now, Pete, by the way?
Pro Football Rundown, me, Brady Quinn, and Jorge, we do the show.
Sweet. We'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
And
what, you guys? What about four or five people watch that show or listen to it?
Wow.
About the same amount that probably watch what you just did right here or listen to you on game day.
No.
Wow.
Record-breaking.
They all listen for Jeff Loggeman. Everybody listens for Jeff Loggeman.
We have the highest ratings in the nation when it comes to radio.
All right.
Have a great show, Pete. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer, will wrap it up. Preview the trip to Arrowhead coming up. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Yeah, we got a final few minutes here on Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco's out of here.
I got one thing to say about Halloween.
Oh, great. It comes full circle.
Because I was reminded, as a picture I just saw, of a friend of mine's three-year-old or so.
Okay.
Dressed up.
Yes.
I do enjoy the little ones in costumes. Like, see, I have a seven-year-old, Ansley, and I'm looking forward to going and seeing her dressed up.
What is she going to dress as?
I have no idea. No, yeah, I do. My Little Pony.
A horse?
I don't know what that means.
Or the person riding the
horse. Not sure. I didn't design the costume. I didn't make it.
I didn't know that was still a thing, My Little Pony.
Well,
I think we talked about this a couple
Netflix.
Weeks ago.
She's a big Netflix girl.
That's what it was.
So she watches on Netflix, so she wants to be My Little Pony. I think that's what she's going to be. That's what my wife said. So I do like the little ones.
I just had a photo pop up on, I think, Facebook of a friend of mine, her, like, one-year-old, dressed up as a lobster. She's the chef holding it in a pot. That seems a little extreme.
It's a little much for me. See, it goes beyond my comfort
much.
Level.
A little much. Beyond the comfort level, speaking of, the Jags are heading to Arrowhead to face the Chiefs, a good football team.
Will not be a comfortable place to play football.
Never is.
Tough place. Loud, great crowd, great fan base. It's a good football team. 5-3, I believe.
They're right in the hunt in that division.
That
a tough
correct?
Division, too.
5-3.
That's right. Now, half game off the lead.
If they don't have Alex Smith because of the concussion, if he doesn't pass the protocol, they will not be as good. Nick Foles is a capable quarterback. We've seen him before when he was in Philly. But Alex Smith is better than he gets credit for. They have a really solid defense, tough. Eric Berry at safety. We talked about D Ford.
They're 5-2, by the way.
Oh, 5-2. Yes. They had to buy. That's right. Yeah. They're a good football team, and it's going to be tough. And you have a change at offensive coordinator. You have a lot of questions. And what you hope is it brings a lot of energy. And you have a team that kind of gets the mojo back and energized, and, hey, here we go. Sometimes it makes no sense, and the change really has nothing to do with it except for that gets you refocused and something going, whatever. Sometimes it's just – we've talked about in baseball when a guy's in a slump. Just change something.
Get something different.
Just do it different, and maybe it'll make it better.
That's a great show tonight, Tony. Good job. Happy Halloween. Enjoy your candy.
I won't eat any candy. No candy.
I've already eaten like 10 things of candy.
I can tell.
Shut up.
I can tell.
For Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, JP Shadrick, thank you for listening and watching on Jaguars.com. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.